Lord, we thank you and we bless you and we love you for your word, Lord. The power of your word, the beauty of your word, Lord, the impact of your word to change lives, Lord, to save, to heal, to deliver, to set free, to never end, Lord. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will go on forever. So we thank you that we can trust your word. It's tried, it's tested, it's proven to be true. So we thank you for your word. Speak to us now through your word, Lord. We love you. We bless you. We need your word. We need you today more than ever. Speak to our hearts and our minds. Thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, dying, decaying, and broken world. God, we need you. Speak clearly, Lord. May we live. May we be obedient to the word of God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we continue our lesson, Is God Enough While We're in the Wilderness? I think it's important for me to share what the wilderness is for all of us. Okay, we've determined that we're in the wilderness, but sometimes we forget what the wilderness is. That wilderness is what we do every day. It's where you're at every day. So here you go. Make a note of this, those of you that take notes. The wilderness is the place you are now until you get to the place where God is trying to take you. The wilderness is the space between your current situation and where God is trying to take you. That's the wilderness. And we're all in the wilderness. We're all in the wilderness. And the parallel to what the children of Israel went through and what we're going through, it's the same. This is what we call a critical real-time message. It's critical and it's real-time because when we walk out the doors while we're sitting here, we're right in the middle of it. It's real-time. It's not past, it's not future, it's present and it's real-time. And it's critical. And the alarm needs to be sounded. Because we're in the wilderness. So important that we don't go after the golden calves while we are in the wilderness. The wilderness is a metaphor, it's a comparison of our lives. And just think about this, family. We've seen the children of Israel and what they were doing while they were in the wilderness. And they thought it was the thing to do. But that was us. Before we got saved, we were there. Right. We didn't even know. Well, maybe we knew about God, but we didn't care. We were doing our own things and we were headed straight to hell. So we were all right there. And then we got saved and we go, oh, my God, there is a true and living God. There is a standard. So we have to be mindful that same wilderness, that same golden calf tries to reel us back in. And you wonder sometimes why people can't understand, can't see through their current situation to see God. Well, we couldn't either. And it's spiritual warfare at the highest level. So we look at 1 Corinthians, just our foundational scripture. Then we're going right to Exodus. So 1 Corinthians 10, verse 7, I believe, is where we're at. And I'm going to be all over the place, and we'll see when we stop, and that's going to be that, and then we'll pick it up next time. Amen? But I want you all to really understand. I'm going to paint a picture for you. I want you all to see it. God was, as I'm praying and meditating at night, and especially on Saturday nights, God gave me a clear revelation. I'm going to share it with you. Verse 7, are we there? If you're there, say amen. It says, neither be idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Now, this is after they built the golden calf, which we're going to see in Exodus 32. The people sat down to eat and to drink, rose up to play. It was a wild and wicked scene. Aaron even had them take off their clothes while they were eating and drinking and worshiping the golden calf, saying, "This is our God." It was wild and wicked, family. And we're going to read that. So they were doing whatever they wanted to do. So you're asking yourself, what do you do in the wilderness for 40 years while you're trying to get to where God wants you to go? You take off your clothes and you worship golden calves. And you sing and you dance and you eat. That's what they were doing. Yeah, it reminds us of today. I mean, it's real-time message. Trace and I were driving home. We passed on the way home coming from Signal Hill. We were up walking and running and stuff. We try and take the shortcut. And when we take the shortcut, we pass a strip club. I just want to get y'all attention right away. That's all. So when we come home during the day, it's just sitting there. But we went to that Home Depot and we came home Friday night and the parking lot was full. What do you do for 40 years? You act a fool. But here's the saddest thing. When we were passing by and God spoke to my heart, that's somebody's daughter in there that's dancing. And then that's somebody's son in there watching. What do you do in the wilderness? You get caught up into the golden calf. It's going on today, family. That's why it's a real-time critical message. You'll get so comfortable in dysfunction and that you'll die and go to hell. So we have two things going on. Satan got kicked out of heaven because of his pride. His greed, his ego, and his envy. The same thing that kills any relationship today. The last issue you had with the person, think about it. Was it pride? Was it greed, envy, or ego? I guarantee you it was one of them. Think about your last conflict on the job. Because it's your pride, because you know what you're doing, and nobody can tell you what to do, and it gets in the way every time. The same thing that gets in the way of your relationship with your kids, with your spouse, with your church, it comes down to pride, greed, envy, or ego. And it comes from Satan. It's spiritual warfare at its highest level. So here we go. Satan tells God, "I want to be just like you." What's that? Pride. "I can be the Most High." That's ego. "I want to be like you." That's envy. "I should be the Most High." That's greed. God said, "No way, I created you." Kicked him out. So then he kicked him down to the earth. And so here we are in the middle of this battle. In the wilderness, in the middle of the battle. Satan's pride, envy, greed, and ego, and God's love and light. We're in the middle of it. Satan's telling God, "You know what? I'm going to show you. I'm going to have more in hell than you have with you in heaven." And we're in the middle of that spiritual warfare. And it's called the wilderness. The space between where you are right now and the place where God's trying to take you. And all this other stuff is a distraction and dysfunction. And it comes out in the form of golden calves. So we're in the middle of that. Okay, let's go. Let's make it plain. All right, Pastor, you're doing a lot of talking. Show me in the Word. Hey, man, let's go to Exodus 32. It's going to blow your mind. That's what the Word of God should do. Somebody say amen. Amen. So we're in the middle of this spiritual warfare, and nothing else matters because somebody's going to die and go to hell. That's why I said go and make disciples. That's your purpose. Your method is different, but the purpose never changes. Make disciples. Build the kingdom of God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. I don't care what they've done to you. You have to forgive. You have to. Jesus said that you love your enemies and bless those that despitely use and persecute you. My youngest daughter and I were having a conversation about some things going on at school with friends who used to be friends. And all. You still got to forgive them. And the lady who lives down the street who's crazy, you still got to forgive her. Because she's in the wilderness. If she doesn't get saved, she's going to hell. And then she started telling me about the lesson that they're teaching in Sunday school about the rich ruler who went to hell. That's it. And he said, what was he concerned about? I got five brothers. He didn't talk about his money. He didn't talk about the stuff he left behind. He didn't talk about his house, his car, his 401k. He said, I got five brothers. Now I don't want them to come to this place. We're in the middle of the wilderness, and the only thing that matters is who are you going to share Jesus Christ with? Don't try and save them. Somebody plants, somebody waters, and God gives increase. You don't have to try and save nobody. Just open your mouth and share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So here we are in this space between where we are now and where God's trying to take us. And the second thing that kept them out of the promised land was they start worshiping idols. We pick it up in Exodus 32 and 1. Let me show you something really, really good. 32 and 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, get up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. Get up, Aaron. We need something to follow. Oh. So we made a note already that our impatience leads to idol worship. God has taken too long. Christ has taken too long. I got to find something else to worship, something to follow. All right? So keep your finger there. Look at 32 and 32 and 20. Where is it at, Pastor? All right. Look what they say again. This is Aaron trying to explain to Moses. For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. Now look at 32 and 34. Therefore now go. This is God after he talks to Moses and the judgments have been passed down. God says, therefore go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. Underline, behold, my angel shall go before you. So here we go. Here's the revelation. What's the revelation? Here's the first revelation. We have to follow something. You and I, we were built to follow. I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it. We were built to follow. We've been willing to chase it, but we were created to worship. Let me say it again. We were built to follow. We're willing to chase it, but we were created to worship. We were never created to worship a golden calf, but whatever we follow, here's the revelation. Whatever we follow is what we worship. Okay, let me make it a little bit plainer. They said, build us something that we have to follow. I have to follow something. But look what God told them. Let's go back to Exodus 23:20. Let's go back. You got to follow something. And what you follow is what you worship. You have to follow something. 23:20. Behold, I will send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way which I bring thee into the place which I have prepared. God saying, I'm sending an angel for you to follow, which is his presence. The children of Israel said, God, it's taking too long. Give me a golden calf so I can follow that. Make a note. There's two things you can follow. The true or the false. I always wondered why those tests were true or false. Now I understand. You're going to follow the true and living God, or you're going to follow the false calf. You have to follow something. And if you're not making an effort to follow God, then you're already following the false calf. All right. I'm going to ask you a question. I just want you to think about it. What are you chasing? What are you following? The true or the false? Is it a person? Is it money? Is it fame? Is it a career? Is it a degree? Is it a degree? What are you following? Go back to Exodus 32. Let me tell you what God says. Look at 32:8. God says, they have turned away quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made a golden calf and they have worshiped it. Make a note. You can make a golden calf, but don't worship it. You can have your dreams and your hopes and your career, but don't worship it. You can have ambition. You could want a house, a car, a relationship, but don't worship it. It's okay to make it. But when you worship it, you cross the line. God said, Sister Carol, they built it and they worshiped it. It's a difference between building a career and worshiping your career. It's a difference between building your marriage and worshiping your marriage. It's a difference between raising your kids and worshiping your kids. It's a difference between building your business and worshiping your business. God said they built it and they're worshiping it. It's a problem. When you follow a false god, it leads nowhere productive, and eventually it leads you right to hell. I say this was a real-time sobering message. Look, family, you're the ones that God gave me the assignment to minister to. I don't know what they're teaching in other churches. I just know what my assignment is here. And God is saying, don't get caught up in the false gods. Don't get caught up in the wilderness worshiping stuff that has no value. And as we're going through, it's like a football game. Did you do your assignment last week? Man, it was so incredible. They were screaming and hollering. They had their faces painted. And they were going at it. I said, wow. You can build it, but you don't have to worship. They were crossing the line. And then I try not to get emotionally caught up in a game, but it's hard when it's your team and all that. Because I don't want to really put all my strength into something that can lose. I don't want to put all my emotion into the team and then they lose. Man, you wiped out. I watched the Oregon game yesterday. They were winning the whole game, had the game won. All they had to do was hike the ball and take a knee. And they win the game. But they said, let's try and run a little bit more. Let's rub it in. Guy fumbled. The other team get the ball, come down, score, tie the game up, and beat them in overtime. The fans couldn't even leave the stadium. They just stayed with their hands on their head. Couldn't believe. Man, I can't worship something like that has the opportunity to lose. Okay? I'm going to worship Christ because he already won. He resurrected on that third day. I already have the victory. I'm worshiping the true and living God. I get all tied up in that because even on my worst day, I still win. Even on my worst day, I still have the victory. I just can't get into it and watch them lose and then be depressed all day. I can't do it. But it's like it's like you're going to follow. So it's like a football game where if you're the running back, you have the blockers in front of you and they create different holes in the line. And then you go through and you score a touchdown to win the game. You got to follow something. So for us, Jesus Christ has already paved the way and we just have to follow to have a victorious life. And then we go to heaven. You got to follow something, though. You have to follow something. It's the same way. This entire journey of faith, this entire faith walk, remember, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by what the word says and not by what our emotions feel. So the worst thing you could do is walk according to your emotions. But this whole walk of faith is about either we're going to enter heaven or hell. It's no in between. Make a note, family. You and I, it's no question about it. We're following something. As I'm going over this lesson and God is speaking to my heart, I'm trying to evaluate, man, what are you really following? As I'm studying this, I have to evaluate Pastor Carter and say, okay, let me just sit back and think about my whole life. What I do day to day, at the end of the day, what am I really following? What am I chasing after? It's a book that came out years ago. It was called God Chaser. It's talk about chasing God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Sister Christine, I got to try and figure out, what am I chasing? I do. You do. I have to decide that. And the areas where I fall short, God forgive me. Whatever we chase and follow is what we've placed above God. And it's what we're worshiping. That's the revelation. Write that down. Whatever we chase and follow is what we've placed above God. It's what we worship. So we have the children of Israel. They created idols in the wilderness. What do? For 40 years? You create idols. You start following something else. They said, create us something that we could follow. Let's pick it up. Let's go to 32 and 2. We'll go through this and we'll stop and we'll pick it up next time. 32 and 2, if you're there, say amen. And Aaron said unto them, break off the gold in their rings, which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters, and bring them to me. We've read that. And all the people broke off their rings, which were in the ears, and brought them to Aaron, and he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool. He had made a molten calf, and they said, these be the gods of Israel, my goodness, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. So make a note that he made them with an engraving tool. It takes effort to serve false gods. Make a note, it takes effort to serve the true and living God. It just doesn't happen. And if you say, Pastor, I don't have time, I'm too busy to get up early in the morning to worship God, then I submit to you, you really are too busy. You are too busy. My former pastor, Dr. Billy, would say, but man, you don't understand, Pastor. You don't understand. I got places to go, things to do, and people to see. And then Dr. Billy would say, well, where you got to go? What you got to see? Where you got to be? Who's more important to see than Jesus? If you don't make an effort to serve God, it doesn't happen. That's why I'm going to tell you day and day, get up, 5 minutes, spend with God. Put on your favorite worship song. That should take 5 to 10 minutes. Give God that. Meditate on the scripture. Thank God for waking you up. Let him know how much you love him. Otherwise, if you don't, you're going to start worshiping a golden calf in the midst of the wilderness. It's on you. You have to make the effort. Just like they made the effort to fashion that thing into a golden calf and engraving tool. It takes effort. It takes effort to build a house. It takes effort to make a car. It takes effort to build a relationship. We take effort with everything else but spending time with God. And then that lets you know what you're truly chasing and what you're truly following. Because you have to worship something, because we were built to worship and created to worship God. And something's going to get your worship. Verse 5. And when Aaron saw it, he built up an altar to it, and Aaron made a proclamation, said, "Today or tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." And they rose up early. What gets you up early in the morning? What do you get up early and do? Those of us, we get up, we thank God, we say our prayers, we worship God, we put on our worship music. Okay, whatever. Okay. But what gets you up early? When you get up, what do you, okay, I can't wait. Cut on the TV. Let's see what happened overnight. Like, you get on your phone, what's happening in the world of social media? What gets you up early? What are you chasing? So they got up early in verse 6 and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. Sound like they're worshiping God, but they're not. Remember, they're naked. And it's wild and it's wicked. They sat down to eat and to drink, and they rose up to play to a false god. Verse 7, and the Lord said unto Moses, get down from here, for thy people which you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. Make no mistake. When you worship and you go after anything that's not God, anything that you place above God, you're corrupting yourself, and it's a sin. So they corrupted themselves, and it's a sin. And look, he told Moses, the people that you brought out. Moses is going to tell him what's the people that you brought out later. But God says, I'm taking responsibility, but also, family, we got to take some responsibility too. I mean, everybody has free will, but there's still some level of responsibility. Not here to take anybody on a guilt trip, but God said, those are people that you brought out. The kids in my house are the kids that were born to me, and I'm the head of my house. God said, you got to take some responsibility, Pastor Carter. Granted, they have free will, but they were brought up in your house. You have to take some responsibility for that. I get it. It's not my job to save them, but I have to take some responsibility, God. I understand that. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, we were working with the school, meeting with the stepfather, and the young man was having a little trouble. And so while they were talking to the mom, talked to the stepdad and said, you know, is there anything that ain't my kid? That ain't my kid. Wow. So conversation over. Brother Ivy, conversation ended right there. Why? No sense even talking about anything else. Although I'm married to the mom and he's growing up in my house, that ain't my kid. I take no responsibility for that thing right there. Which is a travesty. And you and I know that some of us were raised with step parents who treated us even better than our own parents could. We've had coaches and mentors who treated us just like our dad would and our mom would. God says you got to take some type of responsibility. Verse 8, they have turned aside quickly. It doesn't take that long. Out of the way which I commanded them. Look what God says. God sees everything. Make it know God sees everything. He tells Moses, look, man, your people are tripping. They've corrupted themselves. God, forgive us for corrupting ourselves with false gods that lead nowhere. They have turned aside quickly. It doesn't take long, family. Don't let the devil convince you that going to church, you ain't going to miss nothing. I'm telling you. It don't take long for you to slide all the way down a slippery slope. Because the world would paint a picture that would get your attention and you would be gone. Chasing a golden calf and worshiping it. getting wild and wicked 40 years and die in your dysfunction. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made a molten calf and have worshipped it. Ah! You got to worship something. Make a note again, family. Write it again. I have to worship something. Because I was created for it. Something is going to get my attention. And they have sacrificed unto it. And said, these be thy gods. God knows exactly what they said. And exactly what, look at what they said. These be thy gods of Israel, which have brought us out of the land of Egypt. You will get confused and think you've actually done something. I'm a self-made man. I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. Are you kidding me? My work ethic, my intellect, my skill has gotten me. Are you an idiot? Sorry, Jill. Jill told me idiot's a bad word, so I apologize. She told me not to say it. But are you kidding me? Are you an idiot? Verse 9, and the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this. Oh, this is good. Verse 9, the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it's a stiff-necked people. So God, what do you mean? God is saying, just like when you have a crook in your neck, it's only so far you can turn because it's too stiff. But God's saying their stiff neck is a stiff heart. And you wonder why people don't get it, because they got a stiff heart. And it can't even turn. It can't even turn towards God because it's too stiff. And God say they've always been a stiff neck. So you pray for people's stiff heart. Pray for your family, your friends, your kids, your spouse. Pray for that stiff heart that can't even see God. That can't even turn one inch towards God. It's just like a crook in your neck. But it's a stiff heart. God says this is just a stiff-necked people. God says, I've seen this people before, and their heart is so stiff. Look what God says. Now, therefore, let me alone. God, Moses, chill. That my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. God said, let me take them out, and then we're going to start through you. I got so many notes on this. Let's finish up. Let's try and finish this up. Let's go to verse 22. It's a real time message, folks. Let's go to verse 22. Let's look at verse 22. Aaron tries to pass the buck. Okay, let's go to 21. And Moses said unto Aaron, man, what did you do? What did this people unto thee that thou hast brought such a great sin upon them? So make it a note. It is a sin to worship false idols. It's a sin. It's a sin to place anything above God. And Aaron said in verse 20, man, don't be angry, my Lord. Don't let your anger wax high. You know how these people are, that they are set on mischief. Don't let other people get you caught up. And you have friends and you know what they're about. Don't let them get you caught up. Because Aaron didn't make it because of this. And there's friends don't want you to make it. And they don't even see it because their heart is so stiff towards God. Look what he says in verse 24. They said unto me, make us gods which should go before us. Remember, you got to follow something. Even the people knew that something needs to go before them. God help us. For they said to make us gods which should go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, really, Aaron, let them break it off. So they gave it to me. Then I cast it in the fire and poof, there came this calf. That's somewhat true, but it's not completely true. Because remember, he got the engraving tool and he made it. But we know when God calls us on the carpet, we want to hide. But God saw everything. And look at this verse 20. I told you they were naked. Naked. 25. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, not naked, they were naked. When Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto the shame of their among their enemies. It was wild. I mean, don't let the devil make a fool of you. Don't let these false images and these, I wrote it down, what are these, the rappers, the entertainers, the TV, the music, what else we got? The social media. We got everything trying to make a fool out of you. I'm telling you, don't let it make a fool. Have you walk around naked, not covered. Literally and figuratively. In the wilderness. 40 years, die there, dysfunctional, going to hell. Real time. It's happening right now. We looked at the death clock one morning and here somebody dies with every 2-3 seconds. Real time message. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come up over here. You got a choice. Make a note. You got a choice. Even in that, God still gave them a choice to repent. How could a loving God send somebody to hell because of unconfessed and unrepented sin? That's how. Verse 26, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together with him. It's the only ones who want to go on the Lord's side. He said unto them, thus said the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side and go in and out from the gate to gate throughout the camp and slay every man his brother and every man his companion and every man his neighbor. So those who don't want to be on the Lord's side, there are consequences for sin. The children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. Make a notice, a consequence to sin. God's not playing. For Moses said, consecrate. What do we sing a song? Holy, because God is holy. That's why we have to consecrate ourselves. Today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother that he may bestow upon. And God still wants to bless them in the midst of all that. We confess our sins and forsake them. God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Darius, take us to 1 Chronicles 29:11. And we'll pick it up here next. So much more. I think God's given us enough to digest and to chew on. But I want you to make sure. This is our worship scripture. You should be reading this every morning. Pastor, where do I start? This is where you start. And then wherever else God takes you. So you make sure that you're worshiping the true and living God. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. The God we serve, he's the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours, Lord. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Amen. You got to follow something. So we're going to end service with a worship song. I just want you to focus on God, because you got to worship something. You got to follow something. I don't know if you're worshiping at home, but we're going to worship now. So as it's playing, the song is Healer. We've been having a lot of healing issues in here. So as you're praying to God, thank God that He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God that heals. Just worship Him for being a healer and ask Him to heal us physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Every aspect of our life needs healing. Ask God to heal us. Ask the healer, the great healer, the great physician, as you worship Him. And then place God above all. And then we'll dismiss after this song. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Forgive us of our sins, Lord, of creating the golden calves and going after them. Your word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. Lord, let us chase you with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our spirit. Heal our bodies, heal our minds. Yes, Lord, you hold everything. Thank you, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. We trust you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We can trust you. Lord, you're all I need. Jesus, you're all I need.